Hey, what's going on, Clipper folks? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am still positive, Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Heck yes.
We're still bringing you Clippers news 5 days a week.
No stopping.
Season, yeah, season may have stopped. We have not.
Absolutely not.
So if you're new to the show, thanks so much for rocking with us. If you're a regular, hey, thanks for sticking around.
Yeah.
We got a heck of a show lined up for you today. We're going to be talking more about the head coach. There's been some more developments from Ballmer, essentially. He's wanting to see some more innovation. So we're going to kind of dive into what does that even mean and see what that could possibly look like. And then we're going to be talking a little bit of Mann and Fee, sort of what their futures are. Obviously, along with Shamet and, I mean, Zoo, you can throw Zoo in that conversation too, like the only young core of this Clippers roster. So those are going to be kind of key pieces to see what's going to happen. And then in Shavings, we polled you, got your thoughts on how you were feeling in terms of having fun with the season.
Just in general, really. It was a good
as a Clippers
session.
Fan. Yeah. So we're going to dive into that and possibly more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yeah, so we have to give a shout-out to Built Bar. This is a Built Bar-sponsored pod. It's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Check out BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your first order. But right now, more importantly, we're here to talk. So there was no updates on Clippers coach interviews over the weekend. If you were kind of expecting one, I don't think we're going to know who gets hired until the Woj bomb, right?
Yeah. There might be some pre-bombs about there might be a few pre-bombs about even interviews, because I think even hearing about that would be pretty monumental, just knowing where the organization is at in their search. Yeah. Well, I think it would be their priority to try to keep that stuff under wraps. I think stuff like that is really hard to do.
Flights and all that weird stuff now.
Yeah, yeah. So I would be a little surprised if there wasn't any word. Frankly, I'd start to be a little bit worried if there hasn't even been any notification of conversations that are occurring within the organization.
Well, I'll do one better. I'm already worried because of that very fact. The only names we've heard mentioned are Ty Lue and Jeff Van Gundy, which is like,
I don't even think is real. I think that was just tossed out there.
But so that leads to my uncertainty, right? Like,
definitely.
They talk about so much about how kind of Doc, they don't really want something that was like Doc in terms of a head coach. And Lou's going to have a really hard time trying to convince them that he's that much different than Doc, maybe to their liking, I think. And just the uncertainties at an all-time high. We're in a pretty kind of crucial contract situation. We don't know what's going to happen with Morris. We don't know what's going to happen with Jamichael Green. He could opt in. He's probably going to opt out. I would if I was him, because you can probably get more money. And we got a couple more dominoes. You know, Reggie Jackson isn't, you know, the most loved Clipper right now, but he's one of PG's guys. They have their locker together per request, like next to each other. Like, there's just a lot of balls up in the air right now for the Clippers.
Definitely. Yeah. I don't know if it's necessarily time to be worried yet. I would say, I mean, we're still really only like a week into this search.
Every other team feels like they were like a suit. Like, dude, Doc got hired in 72 hours. I know we shouldn't be searching that fast, but
after
like,
72 hours of being fired from the Clippers, though, I mean, they fired their coach. I mean, they fired their coach right after their playoff loss.
That's fair. I guess what bums me out is they seemingly had their guy who they really wanted, which was Doc. And because of how the press relationship with the Clippers and the press works, we're not going to know if we had that guy. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't even know who the targets are.
That's fair. But I mean, I know that it feels excruciating and it's been a long time, but truly we've only been in this search for a week. So
a week in 2020 time is 6 months in every other regular period of time.
So I don't think it's time to panic yet. Even though there hasn't been a whole lot of word, I think it's good that they are going to take a look at some other applicants rather than just straight away going with Lou. I still do think that Ty Lue would be a great fit. It makes a lot of sense. Definitely has a, you know, he's a championship caliber coach, and players do seem to like him. But I think that it makes sense to, you know, sort of dig in a little bit and see what is out there and what's available. So I'm not too concerned yet. And, you know, truly we will – more will come out about what is happening internally. You know, we don't know who they've reached out to thus far. I don't think it's time to really worry unless we're coming up on November and there still is no official announcement. Because
yeah,
the thing is,
the season might start in January is what's the also terrifying.
The season will start in January. Ooh. And I would be really surprised if they didn't at least try to have a few preseason games occur on the 25th, because yeah, Christmas is the biggest day in the NBA. Yeah,
good call.
It's been that way forever.
Since Christmas started.
Yeah, I mean, truly.
Since the first Christmas.
We're definitely looking at a start in January. And like I said, I think that they're going to try to sneak in some preseason in there right at the end of December. So with only 3 months, I mean, with only with only 3 months come November until, you know, the start of the season, assumingly, that's not really a whole lot of time.
I saw some people on Twitter who were saying maybe we're just waiting for the finals to get over so we can interview some Miami Heat assistant coaches. And I was like, hey, let's do it. Like, there's worse places to get organizational kind of lifeblood from. Dan Craig's name was mentioned. He led the Sky Force in the G League Duo Championship. There seems to be a common thread with a lot of these first-year coaches as they lead a G League team to a championship.
So there's another coaching assistant who's definitely done that who could be available.
There very much is. But so we're talking about kind of Ballmer putting an emphasis on innovation for the next head coach. What do we even think that means? Because as far as innovating goes, you kind of – I think when people – think about basketball innovation, you kind of think of Mike D'Antoni, you think of that Rocket system. But I think you could also I think you could look at Nick Nurse, and I think you can look at, I mean, it pains me a little bit to say it, but how the Lakers kind of went just huge, you know, like they kind of went the opposite of how the Rockets have. Yes, they have AD and LeBron, which helps things out quite a bit. But we're a big-ass team, right? Like, if Trez leaves and we sign a traditional-size center, we're still a pretty big team with some, like, versatility at five out. You know what I mean? Like, it's we're such kind of a tweener team. Like, we have a bunch of wings. Like, it's going to be interesting to see what Ballmer's version of innovation is going to be brought to this Clippers team.
Yeah, I mean – I don't know. I don't like innovation, that like the term, because I just feel like that to me sounds innovation. I mean, not in general, but I think it has to be specific to this roster, right? So when I'm thinking innovation, that to me sounds like you want somebody to come in here and like design a whole new thing. Like, I don't want to pivot to Lakers big ball or something like that. The thing is like, the Lakers are the only team that can do that because they have LeBron 100%. And Anthony Davis. That's not going to work. Like, that's not going to work with the personnel that we have.
Yeah. You don't think Zubats and Alex Len could get the same result?
No, not at all. And I still like, I mean, I'm still holding out faith for some more JaMychal at the five. God willing, we can retain him. So we'll see what happens with that. But I think that innovation is the wrong term. I would like something more of an optimization of the pieces that we already have. Because, like, you know, this team on paper is still a championship team. At least the qualities are there.
The three people, yeah.
The qualities are there. The talent is definitely there. I just think that it needs to be organized on court in a more cohesive way, which
and
I think
off court, evidently.
Definitely off the court, but we'll talk about that in a sec. But basically, I mean, I think some of that cohesiveness is going to come just from playing another season of basketball together.
Yeah.
Almost regardless of who the coach is, just getting these guys another hopeful 82 games of reps in together.
Yeah.
I think is going to be huge. It's going to be monumental.
I take 30 altogether, honestly.
in making this whole thing work. And then, the biggest thing that a coach can do is just going to be getting a hold of this locker room, getting everybody on the same page from a culture. I know that word is like so cliche, but like from a culture or a mentality standpoint, having a clear narrative of what this team is, how they play, how they interact with one another, who defers to who, and how that's all going to work.
Yeah, there's so much to figure out. That's what I mean by the uncertainty. I don't want to freak people out, but for me today, I was just hanging out on the Sunday being like, there's a lot of question marks right now.
The one thing, though, that like I just want to do return to this because I do want people – it's natural to feel a little bit nervous about the search, but it has not been that long of a time. And I do just want to return to the talent that we have is still going to be great, I think, almost regardless of who you put at the helm. The only thing you can't do is play Trez 20 minutes against exactly. the best offensive yeah. center in the league.
Show him
it's
the box
a pretty
score.
Low bar. You're gonna it's be a like, pretty low bar to succeed.
You're going to be like, circle where you think things went wrong. And there's a big circle around those Trez minutes. Let us know what you think about this whole situation at Locked On Clips, at Charles Mockler, at Will Updike. Coming up, we're talking kind of Mann and Fee's volatile rookie season to get through and where they can go from here. But first, got to give a shout out to Roman. It used to be that talking about erectile dysfunction wasn't easy, but hey, it's 2020. People are talking about everything. It's easy to talk about with a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication thanks to Roman. It's simple, safe, and totally discreet, uber discreet, if you will. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home or car, depending where your situation is. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is very easy. Just go to roman.com/lockdownNBA and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman, so you can tackle it all you want. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Go to getroman.com/lockdownNBA today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's getroman.com/lockdownNBA. Getroman.com/lockdownNBA.
All right, so now that we've talked about coaches, it's time to talk about the other elephants in the room, the young Bulls, Terrence Mann, Fiondo Cavangeli. What now? What are we going to do with these guys? They had
the craziest rookie year that, like, I mean, I don't know. Like, so you come into a team that has championship hope, so you kind of know you're probably not going to get the most development, right?
Yeah.
And then – Terrence Mann gets invited to the bubble where he doesn't really play. So, like, I guess that experience was good. But this was another thing they talked, you know, about an issue with Doc was, like, these guys' developments were – it was just, like, 100% kind of for Fee to get minutes in the G League. And then Terrence, like, practiced with the first team and never really got any real run. Like, it was just odd, I thought.
Well, I mean – the difficulty in the Terrence situation is just that, you know, he was immediately moved to being a point guard one. And it wasn't a situation that he was familiar with. I don't think that it was a situation that he was, you know, really bound to succeed in.
None of these guys were set up for success.
Stepping into, like, the hardest position on the floor. And so it's natural to have those sort of growing pains. I do like, you know, like that he was able to spend as much time with the team as he did, because I think that there is value to that, even though, I mean, you could argue that there's maybe more value in playing with the G League, but if he's going to get even some rotation minutes with this team in his sophomore year, I think that it's essential to sort of understand his fit with those guys and get comfortable with them.
Because his minutes were with, like, Patterson and, like, that kind of thing. Like, he wasn't getting minutes with, like, the actual guys. So,
yeah.
For me, it's hard because, like, I feel like it's so difficult to be like, all right, Terrence Mann, like, learn how to be a rookie now on this championship team. Like, that's a difficult position to be in. Like, I don't think – Terrence Mann handled it well. I think he had a pretty good rookie season, all things considered. But I just wish he would have gotten more kind of actual run, be it with G League or with – I mean, we couldn't do it with our team. I mean, we kind of did because of the lineups, but still difficult.
Yeah, I mean, the minutes just weren't available. Especially with Shamit being moved to the bench, and then when we picked up Reggie later, there wasn't really any opportunity for him. And, you know, that was pretty much my expectation coming into the season. That definitely wasn't a surprise to me. Like I said, though, him just being with the team, I do think is important. I do think that it showed in his confidence, the way that he looked on court when he did get minutes in the bubble. You know, I thought was vastly superior to what I thought we were going to be able to get out of him. I thought that he had some decent run in the end of the regular season there in Orlando.
Yeah.
As for Kevin Gelly, the thing is he needed the G League time, I think, more than Terrence did.
That's a good. That's a very good call.
A little bit more experience. Fee, you know, he looked like a deer in the headlights every time he hit the court with the Clippers. It was at times just difficult to watch. And I do think that, you know, you can chalk up part of that to being a rookie, but part of that just developmentally, he wasn't there. He didn't quite have that yet. And the thing that's going to be more difficult for Fee versus Man is that I don't really understand what position Fee is going to play.
We have so many tweeners, like the thing of the fact of getting Shea, you kind of have like this, like, 4.5, like,
yeah,
not a traditional size big, which is something we obviously have to deal with in our playoff, you know, our conference. Like,
yeah
it's goofy. It's a little goofy.
In a post-up situation, I don't think Fee could guard a small forward. I just don't think that he has the physicality to do that, let alone play the build minutes at the five. The build is there. He could get to that point. And he doesn't have a varied enough skill set yet. I mean, despite the shooting being confident and an apparent green light,
man. You can't make him if you don't take him, you know?
He doesn't have enough skills like off the dribble or the passing vision to really play at the three. So if we are still trying to work him into a five, like the position that he's used to playing, I think that is going to be a really difficult climb. And, you know, we've had a lot of guys, I mean, Delgado and even Motley come to mind, that are sort of that small five. Like, they're just, you know, physically, they're a weird fit. And I do think that Fee brings a little bit more to the table.
He's a much better shooter.
Yeah. I don't think that he can rebound as well as either one of those guys.
Definitely not as well as Anson Delgado. That dude, he had like 5 20-20 games, I think, for Agua Caliente.
But, you know, I hope that he could get to something to that point. But I think a lot of – so Fee to me is just so much more in the air because it's going to depend on roster development. And I think that if we end up –
putting together a team that has like the same kind of on paper, like say we retain Jamichael and Mook and then let Trez go, sign a very competent, you know, backup center or something like that.
Like a Nerlens Noel or something. Yeah. Like, something along those lines.
It's effectively another lost year for these guys.
Well, see, to me, if you have like a Nerlens Noel or another guy who can clean up the glass in bench minutes, and will obviously be the primary guy off the bench. I think that gives a little bit more room to play with a Kevin Gelly.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
You can't put Fee next to Trez. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
No,
it's just never going to work.
Yeah. No.
But I do think if they try to develop him at like a four or whatever you even want to call it, a stretch five-y kind of guy. We only have wings. Our team is just the wings.
Yeah.
So the number is really irrelevant. But I do think if you're working him in some of those second or third up rotation kind of minutes next to a traditional center who can rebound the ball well and is at least competent defensively, I think that to me proves a little bit clearer of a possibility of a path for him to develop.
That's a good call.
And Terrence, I think Terrence, you know, it's a little bit
new coach, right? You have a new coach who doesn't know what these guys are really all about necessarily.
Yeah. But it's a little bit clearer to me, like what Terrence can do, what he can't do. Hopefully he takes a step defensively this year.
Yeah.
But if we don't retain Reggie, and we end up keeping Shamet on the bench, I mean, you know, like Terrence Mann can fill in some minutes there.
And again, we have no idea what system we're going to play. because we don't have a head coach.
So it's not really clear. But, yeah, of those two guys, I mean, I hope they could both take a jump next year. I do think that there is, depending on the health and who we end up retaining, there is a little bit of room for them to possibly, you know, get some minutes during the regular season.
And Fee lit it up from beyond the arc in the G League. Like, the stroke is there with Fee. Like, my one of the things I'm excited about with Fee is that, like, his shot isn't a project. He is kind of a project as a player, but we're not trying to, like, build his shot into something. You know what I mean? Like, so that's a little easier to deal with. And there's some stuff up in the air with, like, what the hell the G League is going to look like next year.
Yeah, right? For sure. Like,
we don't know what is going to happen with that. Hopefully everyone can play some of their games, not all of them, but that's still up in the air. Let us know what you think about Mann and Fee, kind of what you want to see from them next year.
Do you hope that Fee gets the Motley treatment next season? Like, that he maybe doesn't get a whole lot of minutes, but he spends his time with the team?
Yeah, because I think one of the things with Fee is adjusting to the speed. So being able to practice with the first team would be huge.
Yeah, I think just practicing with the team will go a long way for him.
100%. Coming up after this, we did a quick fun check before the weekend with Clippers fans. We're going to discuss that, just kind of talk about it. But first, Will, talk to me about Built Bars. I've been hearing all these youths, these Gen Zers talk about them. Lay it on me. What's this whole thing about?
All right, so Built Bar is an incredible health bar. They're new and improved. The new bar is even more delicious than before. They come in 18 flavors, so there's no shortage of variety. They got nut and non-nut flavors.
What? Wild.
Nut allergy folks, worry not. Built Bars are healthy. They're great for the health-conscious person. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low calorie, low sugar. They're high protein, high fiber, which makes them great for the keto diet. And right now we have a very special offer for our listeners. If you go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, all caps, one word, you'll get $10 off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at builtbar.com.
Heck yes. Thank you so much, Built Bar, for helping us keep the lights on. We're doing a quick... just an Updike fun check, something we do on Locked On Clips every now and then. If you're new to the show, welcome to your first fun check.
Hey, are you having fun yet?
Are you having fun? So I asked Clippers fans on Twitter. Clippers Twitter's been great in the offseason, by the way. Handled the loss pretty well, I feel like, too. Shout out to everyone on Clippers Twitter who makes things a little more enjoyable on that hellscape for us Clippers fans. Mixed bag in terms of how Clippers fans are doing, I would say. In terms of having fun, definitely. Spilky Vision wishes we could sign Greg Popovich. And this is something that has come up a few times, like kind of as a joke, like Ballmer can offer him X amount of money. Like, you know, how would he say no? I don't want this to happen.
This will not happen.
I don't think Kawhi and Popovich like each other.
This will not happen. Just because of the deterioration of the relationship with Kawhi Leonard, it would be a mistake to even interview Popovich. I think that is sending the wrong signal.
Up for a job either is the other thing. Like, he's not.
He's not leaving. He's not leaving. There's no reason for him to. The idea is all right, but – and he is certainly an innovator. He's really good at building schemes around players versus trying to force people into a role.
Top three coach of all time,
But, it's just not going to happen. I'm not seeing it.
Melissa Stetton said she was bored and that the finals aren't even fun or exciting, which I got to agree with that. It's weird because, the finals are pretty garbage this year.
They are. This is the worst one in a while. Even when the Cavs got swept, LeBron had that LeBron had that insane game one. And you're right. They just still have LeBron, so the threat was still there. This is, congrats to the Lakers. They took the season more seriously than anybody in the Western Conference. They had a great game plan, and they were able to get it done.
Yes.
Hopefully we can be there next year. Am I right, folks?
Let's hope so. LA Clippers film asked if it was just the next season already, which I can't agree with more. I want this new coach hire to happen, and I want all the player things to get figured out so fast because it feels like there's a time crunch.
Yes.
It just does right now. Rev in the Bahamas says he's waiting every hour of each day for the new coach announcement. We had a whole mess of people sending sad gifts and whatnot, which is fair too. I think this is weirdly the most influx. I mean, not weirdly. This is the most influx Clippers expectation and fandom has been.
Yes, ever. Definitely. I mean,
ever. We have no coach. We have maybe the last year of Kawhi and PG. We have key guys we need to re-sign. And because of the nature of how the, you know, the front office is, we're not going to know anything until it actually happens.
Yeah. It's definitely – well, it's weird, right? Because for a team that, for the most part, you know, with a few questions about a couple pieces, the core of what its roster is known and is intact. I still feel like despite that, there's so much more in flux in this offseason than I would have thought.
And would have hoped, I think, is also fair to think, too.
Yeah.
We didn't want it to be this crazy, right? Like, maybe we just get a new head coach.
What do you mean? That's what we're doing.
It's just, I feel like people saying, yeah, if we fire Doc, it'd be great. And now there's so much more uncertainty with all these other factors added.
Agreed.
Right?
Yeah.
Like,
agreed.
It's just a lot.
Yeah, and I think the proposition of Ballmer being more involved is definitely a little bit scary.
That's freaking me out. Because I was reading about what he did when he was at Microsoft, and when that dude wants to get involved, he is involved. Let's just say, the Clippers are a business to him, which makes sense. He spent $2 billion on it, so he's going to want his input. But
he also wants to win, man. Like, it's not like he's just, yeah, I don't know. He wants to win, so it's the same thing I think all the fans want. So we'll see what happens with it. But it does feel a little bit weird that we're in flex. But the thing is that this coaching search hasn't been going on for that long. And really, we just need two key roster pieces to fall right. Maybe pick up a prototypical size backup center. Yeah. And we're back on track, man. This thing is not that far off the rails.
For sure. It's just barely off.
It took a quick detour because maybe it saw a cool gas station, but like, we're going to be right back on
the
highway.
Oh, I like that branding. That's cool. It's at a vintage store on the side of a Western.
It maybe ate an egg salad sandwich that was a little questionable, but you know what? Yeah. You'll get righted out once you're back on the road.
It's not that crazy. It's just, and I feel like, you know, it's going to be a domino effect, right? Once these certain things, you know, once one thing happens, I think we'll see a couple other things fall pretty quickly into place.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think it's going to be all right. Anything else in shavings we want to get off our chest? Anything at all?
No. I'm excited to hear more about what happens with the coaching situation.
Oh, Patrick Patterson's living his best life. I forgot about this. I saw his Instagram story. He was at some restaurant where I believe he ordered an old-fashioned, and they brought it to the table in this weird, like, refrigerator box thing where he like opened it and grabbed his old-fashioned out. There was like a bunch of mist. I was like, this dude, I feel like that dude, he has peak almost. Do you remember Sharper Image? I feel like Patrick Patterson is Sharper Image culture. Not in a bad way. He makes it work.
No, I like it. I mean, stay at home, Pat, but
yeah, please stay at home. Also that, maybe have your own personal dry ice thing. Thank you, everyone, for listening to us. We're going to be back on Tuesday. Will, where can these people tell their friends to maybe check out an OK Clippers pod?
If you want to check out Locked On Clippers, go ahead and you can find us on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Deezer. We're on Stitcher. You can tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. If you feel so inclined, go ahead, leave a rating or review. We'd love to know what you think. And yeah, just keep rocking with us. There's exciting stuff to happen in this offseason. We're going to continue to bring you news 5 days a week, and we couldn't be happier to do so.
Hell yes. Tuesday's episode, hopefully some more coach rumors. Twitter Tuesday, so send your questions in at Locked On Clips, at Charles Mockler, at Will Updike. And then, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, we thank you guys again for hanging out with us. I have been positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.